Telling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zemke.
Morning, Kirsten. How are you today?
Good morning. Hope you all are ready to just be pumped up.
I'm ready.
So this is not a genre, it's a vibe.
Well, I found some playlist of it and I was like, these are the greatest things ever. Although I had to go through probably about 25 playlists because I didn't agree with them.
Aha!
But I think we found the good highlight selection. And so obviously people were putting together these playlists, epic. For, I'm not sure what purpose in their life, you know, is it for...
Well, I'm very interested because all of the tracks that we're about to play are from film scores.
Yes, now they are, and I think most of them were, or at least I feel like that's what launched the idea.
Right.
I think that's where actually it did get more debatable, you know, with pop songs.
Yeah.
I think there's a timeliness for some people that wasn't more universal, whereas these are like all pretty old.
I'm gonna hit the first one. I wish you could see the dancing Kirsten's doing.
I am not. I'm walking through, emerging from a puff of smoke.
That's how Kirsten walked into the studio this morning.
Yes, that's right.
Did anybody else's high school orchestra play this when the teachers would walk into prize giving? Or is that just a Christchurch thing?
No, but that is incredible.
It was deeply nerdy.
Now, apparently, yes, this song has been abused like that. Apparently, like, right-wing radio stations will play it for, like, you know, Biden or, you know, Jacinda. You know what I mean?
Like,
yeah.
Those radio stations.
Ooh. Or sports teams will play it, you know, for like the opposing team. So it's become a meme, hasn't it?
It has become a meme. I think the other thing that's interesting is we're going to hear all these songs. You don't have to have seen the movies to know these songs. That's what I think makes
that's what I'm thinking too.
So iconic is you don't have to have watched Star Wars to know this is the Darth Vader Imperial March.
And that Vader he's not chaotic evil. You know, this is controlling, you know, those elite hierarchical machinery societies, you know, and that are just, you know, almost more foreboding, you know. And so, yeah, it has like that marching army-ish, you know, pomp and circumstance like you would get with a proper, you know, government. But it's, you know, spilled into that dark side. Now, the composer John Williams is an amazing film composer.
Legend.
He's done so many different things. Jaws, I mean, think of that tune. Close Encounters, Indiana Jones, Jurassic Park, Harry Potter.
Forget he does Harry Potter. He does all these, like, iconic scores. And maybe the reason people are sort of circling these as an epic thing is because they are so evocative. And they're so in the moment in the movie when it happens.
Yes.
The music is what makes it.
But more, it's a leitmotif.
Uh-huh.
That you can play little fragments of it at other points, like for Star Wars, across what, 12 other movies.
Yeah.
And to make people think, remember, feel Vader. You know, like when Anakin's little, the few little times where you can start to see evidence that what he's going to turn into. So.
Oh, don't spoil it.
Oh, my God. He's turned into Yoda when he gets really old. Oh, my God. When I looked for it, I found one it's the song on replay for 10 hours on YouTube.
Oh, my God.
So if you want to just deplete your body of adrenaline, just keep playing this and just let it just waste out.
I hope that was good for anyone stuck in traffic this morning.
Oh, I think I hope that's good for anyone. I hope that's good for you. I hope that was good for you. Yeah, I don't know if it's a traffic song. Oh. Are your eyebrows going? Is your side eye going? Is your squint?
Is the screen suddenly smashed to a real close cut? Or a wide shot.
Oh, this is bad for traffic too. You're probably squinting at the person in the car next to you. And you're revving your engine.
Revving your engine, yeah.
So this is another iconic film composer, Ennio Morricone, died in 2020.
I know, so recently.
So this is from 1966, and honestly, the comments underneath it on YouTube, the way people find uses for it every day. in their everyday life.
Oh, yeah.
Like, two people reaching for that last piece of pizza, you know. Yeah.
I have to say, I've never seen The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, but do I know the soundtrack
That's
to
right.
it? I know it so well.
You don't need to. You can get that sort of barren wasteland space.
Tumbleweeds and people hiding behind the shutters of a
but
saloon.
That sort of foreboding of it's going to go down. And he uses a lot of weird sound effecty things. Like, it's not just orchestral. You don't have different brrrs and whistles and the wah wah wah. Now that's bad. And I think part of it is supposed to be coyotes, you know, in the desert.
True. Mm.
Doesn't sound anything like coyotes.
Sounds like a guy in the other room, but I think I like that. If you've got headphones on right now, this is really pinging between.
Oh, yes, the stereo.
Someone says, didn't Wagner come up with the leitmotif, a classic move in opera?
I'm glad you read out that text, because I would have not pronounced that correctly.
Yes, he is famous for doing that.
So this has a history beyond film, obviously, this kind of concept of music to evoke feeling or mood or something. Opera is probably a pretty good way to think about it, because that is what opera does, whether you like it or not. I know people get spicy about opera, but
I don't.
You'd be surprised. But it is. It's like using that as the way to tell you the emotive narrative.
And how to do that with some horns, you know, these instruments and these drums, you know, how are you evoking these complex emotions like a fight is brewing? You know, like...
Mm. That's actually an interesting one, because all the songs we've kind of got are kind of hype tracks or prep for a fight or prep for an altercation.
Okay, now all of you out on your morning run, all of a sudden are superb athletes. So, well, it shows, I guess, some of the uses for music. Your workout, jogging, a sporting event, elections, you know, like, that there's still so many spaces in life that you need to pump up the adrenaline, and music is a good way of doing that. Although, when we get later to it, but you're going to forget that it had vocals.
Yeah, I did think that listening to this before.
So 1976. So it did have like a disco jazz vibe, you know? Yeah. It's not as orchestral as some of the others. It really reflects, you know, him playing with these things in film scores.
Someone has asked, what about the epic thing where the soundtrack pitch seems to go up endlessly to create the tension? They can
Absolutely.
Really stretch that out. Looking at you, Zimmer.
Oh, yeah. Changing key higher and higher.
Oh, yeah.
And this was a real underdog story, you know, the poor kid that couldn't do it. So, you know, if you can translate that into your life. And the comments under this is hilarious. Someone's like, my phone battery was on 5%. Now it's full.
I think it's interesting because maybe not so much for the Imperial March, but perhaps for the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly track, which we just heard, and this song, they've almost become more significant than the films because people
absolutely.
Who would never touch those movies will know this music.
Yeah, and who knows if they've kind of stood the test of time. I haven't tried watching, you know, some of these. But yeah, the soundtrack has become memeable, and as you said, orchestras still play it, high schools, like it's got a function in like modern life. I wanted to name some of the runners-up.
Oh, yeah.
Go on, then.
We had Barber's Adagio for Strings, Opus 11. Now, be careful with that one. It brings the emotional trauma out. Like, you got to be ready. Room of Pillows, I think, is best for that one. Tissues. Carl Orff's O Fortuna, Carmina Burana.
Oh,
that's another hype one if you want to do the work of Satan, I think, especially. I don't know why.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to be like that.
But it is a vibe, yeah.
And Pirates of the Caribbean.
Another high school orchestra classic.
Say, yeah. I played that in band.
Yeah, it's that brass.
It's also, I think, you can adapt it to be easy enough for a bunch of 14-year-olds who've only had about six lessons.
Yeah, you just get the leitmotifs and the drums, and you can take out the
That's
rest of
all
the
you
layers.
Need. I've thoroughly enjoyed our little epic moment this morning, listening to the Imperial March, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, and Gonna Fly Now. Where are we going next week?
I'm not coming in next week.
Oh, you know, we're not coming in next week because it's 100% New Zealand Music Week. So we'll see you in two Fridays.
Two Fridays.
Thank you very much, Kirsten. Have a lovely time off.
That was Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimke.
I do.